This is Jaguars This Week. To talk to Brian, Jeff, or Vic, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Jaguars This Week. Sponsored by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and the Jacksonville Transportation Group. This is your exclusive home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Good evening and welcome inside the studios at Everbank Field in Jacksonville for the first two-hour edition of Jaguars This Week. You knew it, right? 2 hours?
Oh, this is 2 hours?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't come with coffee or snacks. I brought snacks for the guys, you know, trying to hook us all up.
You didn't know that, huh? Did you have a date tonight?
No, I got some things to do.
Like what?
Wash clothes.
Too late. Bonnie?
Yeah, it's going to cost you.
Put him in cold water and throw some detergent.
Can you help me out?
Yeah.
So here we go, folks. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Best Buy. Visit your nearest Best Buy in Regent City Avenues, River City Marketplace, Town Center, and Orange Park. Back late last night from Atlanta, off mid-afternoon tomorrow for Philadelphia. Busy week for Jack Del Rio's football team.
I don't think I've ever done this in 40 years.
Yeah, and, you know, it would have been perfect if you had had a home game, you know, because you go to somebody else's place and then you come back and then you can sleep in not your own bed, but at least something that you're kind of used to over the last couple weeks. But, you know, here the team gets back, you know, 10:30-ish, you know, somewhere probably in the beds, 11:30, and all of a sudden you got to practice tonight, tomorrow you're on a plane. That's a pretty busy week.
Hey, you know, it's kind of a microcosm, though, isn't it, of what we're going to see in the future? I mean, look at the Falcons. They had the Jaguars this week, home game Friday night against Kansas City. Then they get the Patriots next week for a couple of days, then a home game for the Patriots. I mean, this scrimmage thing is going to take on more importance, these combined practices, as we go towards that 18-game schedule, isn't it?
Well, I'm a big believer in that combined practices you get so much more out of compared to just practicing against yourself, because there are two things that happen. The intensity cranks up because, I mean, there's pride involved. You're playing against guys on another team, and nobody wants to not look good.
Right.
And number two, the repetitions are somewhat limited. I think there's less reps overall when you have a combined practice. I'm all for it. I think they're great. I know when I played, I mean, I used to love having those practices because when you finished practice, you didn't feel like you had the typical grind that you would practicing amongst yourselves.
The real merit of combined practices is evaluation. The scouting departments, the personnel departments get absolutely their best look of the entire preseason in the combined practices. It's more important. It's better than a preseason game. They got a better look and got more answers the last 2 days at Flowery Branch, the Falcons training facility. God, a terrible name. No wonder you can't play any
great
defense.
Great facility.
It's on Hogback Mountain, by the way.
It's a fabulous place. Fabulous place.
Beautiful.
You can't play any defense when you live in Flowery Branch. I mean, it can't happen. I mean, if it had been stinking twig or something fine.
I'm going to disagree with you on one point that you made there, though, that you said that it's better than a preseason game.
Yeah, it is.
I don't believe that. And the reason I say that is because there are some guys that have the ability to turn it up when it comes to a real game as opposed to a practice.
Yeah, but you don't always get the look you're looking for in a preseason game. You don't always get
enough
tape.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, and that they get more looks individually to evaluate all the players.
Yeah, you just put a guy in a position and say, I want to see him do this, and you can determine
what
he's going to do.
Ultimately, the final exam is a game day on Sunday, and certain players, Chad Owens, react differently when the lights get bright.
That's a great example.
And so you have to be able to evaluate when real jerseys are on and it's a real game.
Yeah, but I've seen, Jeff, I have seen the preseason fool coaches and fool personnel guys. And the classic example from my career is Matt Barr, a kicker who was in the league for 900 years, and a guy named David Trout, another kicker, who on the strength of a preseason game kicked him off the roster. And Matt Barr went on to kick for 10 more years, and David Trout kicked for 10 more games. You can have a hot night in a preseason game, and with 60,000 people watching, it's going to be tough to cut. It's going to be tough to cut that guy. But if you put him in a controlled environment that's not high profile, and you can stack the deck in terms of how you're going to see him and the circumstances that are going to be involved, so that you get a more legitimate look than a preseason game will give you.
So what did you hear? What are you hearing about the evaluations that they were able to make? Well, I mean, you might not be able to get specific in many cases, but okay.
Based on the last 2 days?
Yeah, what did you hear?
On offense, Grard had a sensational Tuesday morning practice. Out of this world. Really helped himself. If he hadn't thrown that stupid interception in the afternoon. He was hot in the afternoon. Then he forced a ball in the end zone.
You're talking about the afternoon of the second day.
Yeah, he had a great Tuesday morning practice, and he was having a great Tuesday afternoon practice, and then he forced a ball in the end zone. It was intercepted, and everything deteriorated from that point on the rest of the Tuesday p.m. practice.
Right.
Zach Miller distinguished himself in Atlanta. Mercedes Lewis had a nice day yesterday. Mike Thomas jumped through hoops Monday morning. Big practice. David Garrard got nice pass protection in a red zone drill on Tuesday morning. That was a real good thing. Offensive line on a negative side didn't look so good in 9-7s.
No. And for that matter, neither offensive line looked good for the Falcons or the Jaguars.
But the Jaguars defense got creased for two quick touchdown runs early in the 9-7.
On Tuesday,
and that set a bad tone. Safety was a kind of a mixed bag. Considine had an interception, and Anthony Smith nearly had an interception. But I didn't see hide nor hair of Gerald Alexander nor Reggie Nelson.
You know who I thought really looked good? Rashad Jennings.
Oh, his best hands in the team.
He is looking night and day compared to last year in training camp. Because you remember last year in training camp, we were like, boy, he looked so good in OTAs, and then the pads came on, and they were like, you know, where'd he go? And then we were wondering whether he was going to make it, and then he had that one game, preseason game that was here, and he trucked a guy going down the opponent's sideline, and kind of everybody was like, wow, that was a heck of a play. And I think he made the roster based on one play, you know, kind of that feel.
That's right.
But in the scrimmage, he looked strong, he looked dominant, he looked like that he is more than capable of being the number two.
Because he's a big guy, we saw him as a power back. I've taken on a completely different.
No, he's a back.
Yeah, but he's Lenny Moore. This guy is a pass catcher out of the backfield. He may have the best hands on the team.
They're extremely soft.
I mean, he can really catch the ball, and I've found out that's going to be, in my opinion, is going to be his special niche. On the negative side, and I hate to go here, but I mean, this is a news show.
Yeah, not everything was perfect.
We got to do this. Derek Harvey had a sensational start to training camp, and then he went to sleep. And he got pushed down. He got pushed to the ground in pass rush drills twice.
He didn't have a good pass rush drill. I thought his first morning practice was not good.
It was not good.
Yeah,
that was the one that I saw.
But I will say, the second day in the morning, he had a very good practice.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear that because I was disappointed Monday morning. I didn't want to report that news because I thought he was on the rise now. This was going to happen. He's got Joe Collin. He loves his coach. I thought this was going to happen, but it looks like it's still kind of stuck in the mud. By the way, Terrence Knighton is this team's best defensive lineman.
By far.
By far. And that's not only just against the run. That's rushing the passer, too. I mean, he really is the whole package.
And we're talking right now because, you know, Aaron Kampman is somewhat limited.
That's right.
And then also Tyson Alualu is nicked. And I think that's the storyline right now of camp, and that this team is nicked.
Well, let's talk about that when we return.
And the core of it is nicked.
Yeah, I know Jeff can, and I can too. I got lots more opinions on a lot more guys.
Right, well, here we go. Folks, you can join us this evening, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1, if you're outside of our calling area. Jaguars this week, the first two-hour edition of a new season. Continues after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. A test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Welcome back, Jaguars. This week rolls along here on a Wednesday evening. Jaguars head to Philadelphia tomorrow for the Friday night preseason opener at Lincoln Financial Field, 7:30 kickoff, right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. The Sunnies, Joe, come on, give me the name of it now. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show begins at 4:30. There you go. And the pregame show, we pick up the network at 6:30. And you kick it off at 7:30. All right. So here we go. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1.
I want to throw some more out there
while
it's on my mind. I want Jeff to comment along the way. Derek Cox, two thumbs up. I mean, he struggled a little bit at the start of training camp.
He was the star of OTAs.
Yeah, but he struggled at the start of training camp, and there was some concern about him. He had a sensational day yesterday afternoon. And by the way, this whole two-day event ended defensively for the Jaguars yesterday by stopping the Falcons in their two-minute drill. They did not score. That's Matt Ryan, a quarterback, and the Falcons did not score in their two-minute drill, and Cox broke up. He had two passes defensed in that drill. The inside...
Before you go on, Derek Cox had a solid 2 days, but there were a couple instances where Roddy White flat-out ran by him.
I can think of one down the left sideline.
Down the right sideline from an offensive standpoint.
Right.
A couple other catches that Roddy made over Derek. But, I mean, Roddy's a heck of a player now. I mean, he's a heck of a football player. But Derek's not there yet, but he looks good. But I wouldn't say sensational. I thought he had a good 2 days.
That one you're talking about was in the Tuesday morning practice when the defense was just flat awful across the board. And their general manager nailed him in the video I did with GM Gene after the Tuesday morning practice, and their head coach nailed him, and their defensive coordinator, who's always an upbeat, positive guy, I mean, he was crestfallen, and he admitted it. You know, we didn't play well. So I think that discouragement, that disappointment, was conveyed to the men during the regeneration period.
Well, let's stay in the secondary. Let's talk a little bit about Rasheem Mathis. Okay. And by the way, we have to point out, Matt Ryan is as accurate a quarterback as you could ever ask for.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Him and Aaron Rodgers, those two guys, there's your two young stars.
I saw him thread the ball between two defenders. I thought Reggie Nelson had as good a coverage as you could ask for on a 15-yard route against Brian Finneran, who's a big guy. I mean, he was all over him, and Ryan put it right on the spot. The only place where Reggie couldn't defend it, and bang, Finneran made the catch. And he did that three different plays. He is tremendous.
By the way,
a great test for that secondary.
As far as since we're at safety, just stay there for one more minute. It appears, at least according to the way they lined up yesterday afternoon, it appears that Gerald Alexander and Anthony Smith are the leaders for those two positions right now. They were running with the first team.
You always use the rule that you don't go from the starting lineup to the bench. You go from the starting lineup to the waiver wire.
Well, when
is
you're
that
when
the
you're
case when, with when, Reggie Nelson, if he doesn't make this,
yeah, I mean he's in his case, no, because his salary is low. He's one of those guys that got the guaranteed money and the minimum wage, and you know, and that's becoming a problem as it is with Darrelle Revis.
Yeah.
You do the contract so the guaranteed money is up front, the big money is up front. And they get minimum wage salary, and now the player can use that to appeal to the fans. Hey, look at me, I'm not getting anything, you know. And the fan says, yeah, hey, they're not paying my man. Hey, your man got paid up front. You know, he's not telling you what he's averaging out at. He's averaging out at $5-6 million a year, but his salary's coming in at $600,000-$700,000 this year because that's the way the contract was structured. Reggie Nelson was a first-round pick who got the big lump up front, and now he's got a low, one of those minimum wage kind of salaries. So he's not going to go from the starting lineup to off the roster because it would be foolish. He's too good a player. He's a value at the salary they're paying him.
Yeah,
he's a good special teams guy.
Yeah, he's not going to – I don't think he would be a candidate to get cut. But certainly, if he's not a starter – Then in the future, he would move on.
He's a candidate not to be re-signed.
Yes, but he's a candidate. He's certainly not a candidate for the waiver wire. He's playing pretty well.
If he had a $3 million salary,
yeah, then he would be in danger.
Oh yes,
or a restructure. One or the other. Most guys would kind of hesitate at a restructure.
See, that's what Vinny's up against. he's got a pretty pricey salary, and, you know, and they're saying, oh, yeah, we think you're a good player, but your salary may be higher than you're worth.
We do need to talk about the offensive line, but that's a long discussion, so let's save it for after the news. Let's stay in the secondary real quick here.
Okay.
And just hit on a couple more guys. Sean Constantine had an outstanding scrimmage here.
Interception yesterday afternoon off a deflection.
So how does he factor into the safety role at all?
I think he's number three right now. I think he's pushing... I think Reggie Nelson's running four.
I really believe that you could take – I think Gerald Alexander may be the leader.
Yes.
But I think you take all the other three and you put them in a bag, now you got to see them in preseason games. It's really
– I agree.
None of them have really just said, I'm the man. And I'm not talking – I'm talking figuratively here now. They haven't let their performance say that. And so they've got four preseason games to earn that spot. And I think even though if a guy wins that spot, that throughout the season it could be, you know, hey, look, when we go to nickel package, we're going to have Considine out there, and then we're going to take Anthony Smith and maybe play him down in the box as a quasi-safety linebacker. I think they're going to have roles. What you'd like to have, though, is a guy that is the man.
Yes.
And that you don't need to have a role-type safety and roll him in and out.
Hey, one of the officials at who worked the 2 days – is I introduced him to you. Don't use his name.
Okay.
A friend of mine. And, well, you remember what he said. He came over and he was talking to me, and he more or less said, oh, your safety stink.
Yeah.
And it's an official, you know. So they've still got work to do in their secondary, and especially at the two safety positions. By the way, I want to say this about Scott Starks. There has always been a bias against him because he's a little guy, you know. Well, he's so small. You know, you can't
From who?
But from everybody. I mean, even Mike Smith used to express concern about his size. Well, what happens if, you know, if they get Jamal Lewis on him? What happens if
he can play?
He's playing, Jeff.
He can play.
I mean, Scott Starks. God bless you. You are one heck of a football player, and you have my respect. He's playing the best defensive back of anybody in that defensive backfield.
How about Don Carey? The kid who was an IR last year, the Norfolk State kid.
He got torched yesterday by Roddy White.
Which, you know, I mean,
we've heard
Roddy's
about
a premier player, pretty, Derek.
He can run now.
Yeah, he can run. I mean, when you talk about a guy that can go vertical and flat out run by somebody, he can do it. You know, so.
Well, how about over the last 2 weeks? Have you seen enough from
Don Carey? He's a good player.
He's been good. Yeah, he's been good, you know, and. William Middleton's a good player. William Middleton's going to be a big-time special teams player for this football team.
All right, lots more to talk about, evaluating the Jaguars against the Falcons, looking forward to the Eagles, and again, taking your calls, 355-NFL1. The Jaguars have released the 2010 half-packs. That's half-season tickets, which offer five games from just $50 a game. The teal pack features the game against the Broncos, and that's likely to sell out. The gold pack has the September 26th game against these Eagles, and the three AFC South division rivalries. So call the Jaguars ticket office at 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com and get your half pack today. More to come after the news here on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. By the way, mentioned before the break that the Jaguars released the 2010 half packs, those half-season tickets, five games, just $50 a game. The teal pack features the game against the Broncos on September the 12th, and for obvious reasons, that's going to sell out. I was just told by Ryan Robinson that the Broncos tickets will not be included in the single game ticket sales that begin on August the 28th. So if you want to go to that Broncos game, that teal pack is the only one. It's the only one because it's selling fast. So
you know what that's from, Joe? You know what that's from. Planes, trains, automobiles.
Can you turn your microphone on?
I want a car, and I want a car now.
And it was the lady from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
The heavyset woman.
Yep.
You're totally screwed. St. Louis Airport.
That's not exactly what she said, though.
No. Can you get that?
You don't want that.
You can't say it on the air.
Steve Martin.
He is one of the all-time greats. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. What did you want to see from Atlanta? What do you want to see on Friday night from Philadelphia? Jeff and Vic are here to answer those questions, and let's go on to the offensive line.
Well, before you do that, just let everybody know we were all there
right.
for both days. You know, we all made the trip up And
it's the hottest tonic I've ever been in my life.
Extremely, extremely hot.
And evidently, it's not that hot in that part of Atlanta on a regular basis.
No, they've had, Rich, I guess, McKay, what, 50-something plus days of 90-plus degree temperatures, which is kind of rare for there. I mean, it's hot, but it's not like
the humidity
that
was
hot.
Down, and the sun was like a freaking knife. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was definitely pretty warm. The mornings were very warm. There was no breeze. The afternoons were a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Humidity dried up. But we stayed at this place called the Legacy Lodge, which I guess there's some connection with Falcons ownership as far as the team got a discount to stay there, whatever. Beautiful on the Lanier Islands, Lake Lanier.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. And Vic was just angry because every day going to the Falcons practice, we had to drive by all the holes on the golf course.
And that looks like one heck of a golf course.
Just beautiful golf course. But, you know, I've got a thing for the mountains. And these were not mountains, but
they're pretty big hills.
It's 1,000 feet above sea level, which people don't necessarily realize.
And it's getting that way. You're heading in that direction. And I love the look. I just love the. No, it's not southern Atlanta. The south of Atlanta isn't like that. It's just that northern part of Atlanta as you get up toward the Smokies.
It's Lawrenceville.
Man, I want to tell you.
Towards Athens.
Falcons training camp is in a. Their headquarters is in a fabulous place. It is, and it's way out of town. It's 42 miles,
which could be, depending on traffic, could be an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, and it's 53 miles to the airport and right through the heart of Atlanta. Yeah, so.
It is a fabulous, fabulous facility. And by the way, I got a tour yesterday from Reggie Roberts, their PR guy, of the dormitories. They have dormitories that the players stay in. During
like
a training camp.
Yeah,
apartment buildings. It got a pool.
Which they regret, by the way.
Why do they regret?
They regret it because they use it for 5 weeks out of the year, and it costs them more money to have those on the site as opposed to going out somewhere else and
Smitty's
paying.
Got his own suite.
No, I know he does,
there.
But from an ownership money standpoint, they regret doing it.
When his wife, you know, gets cranky, I got to work late, hon. I'm staying in the office.
So he's sleeping on the office floor like he used to here. He's sleeping.
No. Well, no, he's not sleeping on the office floor. I was in there. Reggie Roberts took us for a tour, and they can put eight in the regular suites. They can put eight guys in a suite. There's a living room, dining room, kitchen, two bathrooms, and four bedrooms. All right, so you can have a whole PR staff, you know, hanging out there,
which could be dangerous.
You know, bring in some beer and Monday through Friday, go home for the weekend. A couple of days, that'll work.
You know. Those are nice, but what's impressive is their main headquarters, you know, the main building, which has, you know, all the facilities and the offices and such. And then they actually have a detached indoor field.
Oh.
It's a giant steel building, and they actually recently added on a segment to that, which did house
the arena team,
and that has an entire locker room over there as well. So it is a tremendous facility. I've seen a lot of them in the league. The only one that I have heard that rivals that is the new Baltimore Ravens one.
Jeff, there's a lot in the league.
But the one in Seattle, you took a tour of it last year.
The one in Seattle is pretty nice. I think the setting is incredible because it's on a lake, but the Falcons is light years ahead of Seattle's. As far as the size of the building and the way it's designed and everything, but being on the lake in Seattle, certainly, you know, because one of the owners wants to come to practice, he just flies the seaplane in and lands and pulls up to the dock.
Lake Washington, right?
Yes, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Not exactly sure, but I haven't seen it. But I was told in the last couple of days that Baltimore's facility is also unbelievable.
The one in Atlanta is becoming the norm, Jeff. I'm telling you, there's. Seattle's, Baltimore's, the one in Pittsburgh is out of this world. The one in Dallas has a sensational facility. Miami and Tampa.
But the one in Dallas has been around for a long time.
Yes, it has. But it's still a fabulous facility.
Nice.
I mean, it's what the best-dressed teams are wearing.
Start thinking about the teams that don't have them.
Yeah.
There really aren't that many.
Every 20 years, you've got to turn these facilities around. You can't stand still. You've got to throw money at these doggone teams, and that's just the way it is.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-NFL-1.
Maybe not.
Oh, phone lines appear to be?
Broken.
Not active.
Phone lines are down.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
so
I'll call in.
Try.
I've got a question.
Let's do this.
Hello?
Let's take our break here, and we'll come back, and we'll turn our attention to the offensive line.
What's your name, and who you calling? Where are you calling from?
Vic from Palm Valley. I got a question for Jeff.
Okay. We're at Everbank Field. Vic, go ahead.
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, no, come
we're
on.
Still on.
Okay. So what do you think the Jaguars' record will be this year, Jeff?
16-0, Vic.
Yeah.
And the dancing begins, ladies and gentlemen. We are working on these phone lines. Hope to get them up and going before the end of the program. When we come back, we'll talk about the Jaguars' offensive line. Here on Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. When the Jaguars win, you win. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win. That's at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Sexton, Loggeman, Ketchman, Fortunato here, rolling you up to 7 o'clock where we'll break for news again and then keep on going till 8. We are now in two-hour territory.
The positions we really haven't touched on the defensive side of the ball, linebacker, certainly is one, and I think that would certainly warrant a few minutes of our attention.
You betcha.
It's interesting in that, you know, at the start of camp, Justin Durant and Russell Allen seemed to be in a battle for that weak side linebacking position. But now that Buck or Daryl Smith has been injured and didn't practice, I believe, until the second day with the Falcons, which is the first time he's practiced, I think,
in
about
limited,
a week.
Though. He was limited.
Yeah, and he was limited. Yeah. He didn't do, I don't think, a whole lot of team
stuff. He wasn't
in
team, right.
There's really no battle now between Durant and Russell Allen because, you know, Russell's now moved over to take, you know, Daryl's spot. But an interesting that, you know, anytime you see a personnel move happen to where they add a guy, and they added Tony Gilbert, it makes you go, Teddy Lehman's dinged up. Bosworth is dinged up.
What did I say on the show
last
week?
Freddy Kiejo has been dinged up.
What did I say on the show last week?
Refresh my memory.
I said this linebacker will be an area of intense concentration next offseason. It's a very thin group, and frankly, it's an area of concern.
Well, I will say this, though. The top four, you feel really good about. Not really good. Feel good about.
Yeah. I mean, Durant still has to, he's got to establish his career. He had an interception yesterday afternoon.
He had a really good first day.
Yes.
Good Monday morning practice in that 9-7 run.
Tackle for a loss in that 9-7 run. You know, we used to call that middle run. Now they call it 9-7. Same thing. I think he's jumped up here a little bit and has put his stamp on that job. But he still has to establish his career in the regular season. We'll wait and see. Kirk Morrison clearly is an established player. But I think he is what he is. I mean, you know, he's probably as good as he's going to get.
Yeah, he's a very good football player.
He's an accomplished football player. He's not a Pro Bowl type guy, but he'll do in a pinch. Thing is, going forward, they are going to try to get away from the pinch and try to do for their linebacking core what they've done for their offensive and defensive lines, which is to say, lay the footer or the foundation for long-term stability. At that place.
All right, well, let's go linebacker by linebacker since it's not a huge group. Let's talk about Daryl Smith and where he's at. Last year he showed his ability as a pass rusher.
Yeah, and I think that there may be a role for him at some point doing that. But if Derek Harvey and obviously Aaron Campman and the young player Larry Hart, you know, become football players, then that role probably diminishes somewhat. Probably the best all-around linebacker, one of the best all-around linebackers in the league. You know, certainly, I think, all around top five.
Going into year 7.
Yeah, I mean, very good football player. I mean, we know Justin's got a lot to prove. Kirk, good, solid player. When you get past that, you know, Russell Allen is a guy who I really like.
And that's where I wanted to go next.
He can do everything.
What do you see from him?
Got good instincts. He's got good size. He's smart. He can play in nickel situations. I mean, there's really not a whole lot that he can't do. You know, so I think he was a great free agent find. For this team. I mean, you're talking a free agent guy who can be a number four all day long and be a starter. I mean, that's pretty good for a free agent.
Okay, now go from there. That's all.
The next one, though, that I think out of the next kind of group, and I put Teddy Lehman and Kyle Bosworth, Freddie Kiejo, newly signed Chris Griffin. I think the one that may kind of be maybe just a notch ahead of some of the other of those guys is Jacob Cutrera.
58.
Free agent rookie from LSU.
Yes.
He has actually looked pretty good. You know, you want to see him in game action and all that kind of stuff, but he gives you reason to say,
had a pass.
You got to watch him.
Had a pass defense yesterday afternoon in the two-minute drill.
And what stands out about him, first of all, he's a pretty big linebacker. What's his height, weight?
He's like a 6'4 guy.
6'3, 6'4, 240, 245, somewhere in that range. But when he hits a guy, you hear it. You know what I mean? You hear it. You don't have to see it. You can hear it.
But you see, Jeff, when you talk about linebacker, you're supposed to be talking about the deepest group of athletes on the team. When you go to your special teams, that's the position from which you draw the most special teams guys, big guys who can run and hit. And this team doesn't have a lot of them.
No, they got a new time.
Not at that position. So I just want to say, in the next offseason, I think you're going to see an intense concentration, intense focus on that position.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Done with the defense?
No. Well, I mean, defensive end. I think, because we really haven't touched it. All the defensive line. We talked about Derek Harvey. Austin Lane has been dinged up. Jeremy Navarre, I think he led the team in fights in Atlanta or against the Falcons.
Well, him and Walter Curry. Walter Curry would pick a fight with his mother. I mean, Walter Curry goes to the practice field angry.
The other defensive end, you know, Julius Williams. Boy, I just got to start seeing that athleticism that I can see it at times. I mean, the guy in individual drills makes you go, wow. And then he gets into the team setting, and he makes you kind of think, where did he go? You know, so that's a concern. Larry Hart dinged up a little bit, missed a few practices. He practiced in Atlanta. Looks like he's kind of trying to figure it all out still. But one place stood out in my mind, and it was during a special teams drill. They're running kickoff coverage, and he's running down the field full speed. And he was started out, he's got a little bit of a late start, but his speed allowed him to catch up. And you're talking mostly linebackers and defensive backs on that coverage unit. He catches up.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets down the field and all of a sudden the traffic develops, there's a Falcons player that falls down at the last instant right in front of him. And I'm going, oh, he's going down. And in a millisecond, he jumps in the air, hurdles the guy, and lands on his feet and keeps running. It's one of those plays that make you go, holy cow, did you see the athleticism and being able to jump over that guy?
Mm-hmm.
When you see things like that, you know a guy's got some special
talent. Oh, I wish he could play linebacker. I almost wish they would give that some thought, because I think, as strong as he is, I'm not saying he's not strong, I think he might be too small to play defensive end. He got gobbled up in pass rush. He got gobbled up.
Well, and you know, the one thing, though, that I'm not ready to say that, you know, they ought to try him at linebacker. Typically in the second week of training camp is when you've got that major fatigue factor and you kind of lose your pop. And he's a guy that's going to have his pop.
Let me ask you a question. Does he not look like a weak side linebacker to you? A run and hit, go chase the ball guy?
He looks like an athlete.
Oh, he's an athlete.
You want to find a way to get him on the field.
That's right.
But my point is, in the second week, the dead leg set in, the fatigue, mental and physical, sets in. And when you got a guy who is physically outmatched, okay?
Safe. Yeah.
You know, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, physically outmatched when you just compare them on paper. You got to have that pop. You got to have that snap. And it's hard to have that in the second week of the preseason because you haven't recovered because – he's a rookie. He's getting a lot of reps. Aaron Campman's been missing some time to get a break every now and again. Austin Lane has missed some time to get a break every now and again. Jeremy Mincy and Navarre have moved inside to get some reps at defensive tackle. So the amount of reps that Larry Hart is getting is a pretty large number.
There's a name
patience on that.
There's
one.
A name we haven't mentioned, Tyson Alualu. Now he had a back problem in the spring, missed some time. Now he's missing time with a calf strain.
That was the biggest disappointment. You
betcha. And he won't play Friday night, so that leaves him with three preseason games max. that's a problem.
Well, but what the thing that I think is concerning, I think from all standpoints, your two top picks from last year and your top pick from this year are dinged.
That's it.
And
that's right.
This is the core of your big guys. You want to get them out there.
That's right.
So they're going to have to get kind of back on that horse pretty
quick.
You
went to Atlanta and tried to match up against a team something could go to the Super Bowl without your top three picks of the last 2 years. By the way, the Falcons were without their top two cornerbacks, Dante Robinson and the guy Brian Williams play here. I think they've got problems in their secondary.
That was their downfall last year.
Oh yeah, last year they had the same problem. They got a young guy though that they like. He was a fairly high pick last year. That they're feeling pretty good about.
What's his name?
I can't remember.
Number 20?
20.
Not 24, not the kid from Oklahoma.
I don't remember. Some guy that one of the personnel guys had mentioned to me said they like how he's developed.
Do you have their roster by any chance?
You know, I didn't bring it back with me. I can look online for you.
That's all right. I've got it in my office. I'll take a look.
We're about to break here for news at the top of the hour. We are obviously moving on to hour number two here with news next on News Talk Radio WOKV. This reminder, the Jaguars have released the 2010 half-packs, half-season tickets, which offer five games from just $50 a game. The teal pack features the September 11th game against the Broncos, which, by the way, will not be available in the single-game ticket sale, which begins on August 28th. The gold pack has the game against the Eagles here on the 26th and the three AFC South division rivalries. Call the Jaguars ticket office at 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com and get your half-pack today. News is next, and hopefully we will be back, maybe some phone lines even, after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. We're doing the weather. We're looking at Philadelphia, and Vic asked simply, any chance to get out of the heat,
chance
right?
The weather is going to be any better in Philadelphia than here?
Tomorrow it is going to be high of 84, low of 69. Which translates with the humidity to feel like 92 and as low as 73. And then 80-68 on Friday night for the game.
Anytime,
a shower.
Anytime he wants to cool off, I'm ready. I will not complain.
Got a ways to go.
We got 10 weeks.
I got bug bites all around my ankles. You know where those little socks end?
Yeah.
I've got these raised little welts. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's bug bites.
Well, they got to eat, too.
He leaves it in the simplest possible terms, doesn't he?
He's right.
That's why he hunts. 355-NFL. Why am I giving you the number? We are without phones. I meant to tell you that this evening. They've done some work around here, and obviously we have a loose wire somewhere. And Joe Forsnado,
I know where the loose wire is.
He's efforting to get it put together.
I think it's working.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
It may be. Okay, so somebody call. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL. Randomly, somebody call and let us know whether it works or not.
Yeah, phone
call them saying, hey to Joe.
Yeah, hey, Joe. Hadn't heard that in a while. Vote for your... That's comedy, Joe.
Now, here's how you do it.
Comedy.
Here's what, you did it all wrong. Here's how you do it.
Listen, pardon me?
I don't want anyone calling here. You got it? Now, I mean it, folks. Don't call. It'll light up now.
Boy.
That's what you do with children.
Yeah, it worked.
You tell them to do the opposite. That means your phones are broke, Joe. You tell your kid, you ask your kid, you know, behave. Look, they exploded, see?
Yeah, you're right.
It's how you tell your kid to do the opposite of what you want. You'll get what you want.
A parenting lesson in there for me as well.
Yeah.
I could use it. All right, phone lines are lighting up. We'll find out whether or not any of these folks want to jump on board with us. All right.
It's not working.
Okay.
It's not working.
Well, then what happened? What was all those lights for?
Those are people calling, but
they can't hear Joe.
They can't hear me, and I can't hear
And
them.
He can't hear them. That's a problem.
We have a dial tone.
Uh-huh. It's not working.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Joe.
He's got
one of the things
for all the people to call. Thank you.
One of the things you need in a call-in radio show is a phone that works.
You hear the guy? This is the guy that's supposed to be fixing it right now. Hey, Joe, can you put him on the air, and we'll let him have it.
Can't do that either.
Yeah, I guess not.
We can hold the phone up to
that
the microphone.
Wouldn't be too good.
Look at all those lights blinking.
Well, we know we got listeners. It's just a matter of can we make them callers, and at this point we cannot. So we're not even going to bother giving you.
Well,
the phone number.
Let's just assume. Let's guess at what they want to talk about.
Well, they probably want to talk about
You take first guess.
Wide receiver group.
Yeah, it's always the same position.
I'll bet you they want to talk about David Garrard.
How good he looked?
Just anything. Just David Garrard. He's a quarterback. You have to talk about the quarterback. So let's talk about David Garrard. And I'll bet you we won't disappoint anybody if we talk about David Garrard.
All right.
Well, any thoughts? I have some.
I thought he had a solid 2 days of work with the Falcons. And, you know, I've said this many times, and that, you know, the key to this team's success this year and any team's success is going to be the performance of their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you've got a freakish team like you had last year in the New York Jets that had, you know, a top-ranked defense and a running game that was the best in the National Football mm-hmm. League. You got to have a quarterback who can show up and do special things.
Mm-hmm.
And David is obviously the guy that's got to have a big step this year.
I got an email from an Ask Vic reader after Monday morning's practice. I went back to the hotel to write my story, and I had all these emails from Ask Vic readers, and one of the emails said, "Gee, Vic, I saw that David Garrard had a terrible morning practice," and he included a link to one of these sites where someone just makes these kind of Twitter-like remarks, I saw something, and then the next one is, no, I really didn't, that kind of thing, and this guy is making comments throughout, like 10:42, Garrard throws a terrible pass, 10:43, there's another one. And the guy goes on to rip Garrard in the offense through this entire, chronology, this blog chronology. Slow, plodding, going nowhere. And I'm sitting there writing a story about that Garrard had a productive practice, not elite, but good work, was efficient, didn't throw any interceptions, the whole bit. The unfortunate thing here is that these irresponsible kind of fan-like blog comments are destroying my profession.
What was the first
thing? And they are poisoning people's minds with misinformation. I want to tell you, you could not have a better 2 days than David Garrard had, even if your name is Matt Ryan, and he had 2 good days. But he threw probably 4 interceptions?
Yeah.
Garrard threw 1, but that's the problem. He threw that 1. And it's the thing that David has got to do. He has got to get away from the senseless interception, the forced pass, the throwing it into triple coverage. That if he can get rid of that one thing, I think they have a guy who can really get it done.
But, I mean, those are going to happen, though. I mean, quarterbacks throw interceptions. That just happens.
But there's a difference between an interception that's the result of a deflection or the interception that's that's the result of great coverage. And then there's the one that's just thrown into a crowd.
He has to avoid bad decisions that lead to turnovers.
Right. He had to, other than for that one interception, it's the only one he threw, for that interception at the end of day two, he had 2 great days. And this guy is ripping him.
Who's the source, right?
Well, that's
the
problem.
One of the first lessons in journalism school.
That's the problem. Anybody with a laptop now is a journalist.
And those people who are following people on Twitter or reading blogs or listening to the radio have to know who they are listening
to. But I'm answering questions from people who are reading this and saying, hey, I heard it was really awful. And then I say, no, he did it very well. Well, that's because you're a homer.
Personally,
did he play well?
Yeah, he had a good solid 2 days.
Betcha.
Good
Tuesday
morning,
in the red zone drill, every throw he made was spot on.
He had the sweetest little underhand shovel pass for a touchdown in Reese Jones, Drew. He looked like Dennis Dixon when he was running that Oregon mm-hmm. offense, sleight of hand stuff.
You know who also I thought looked pretty good in those 2 days? Kasim Osgood.
He did. He had a couple catches yesterday.
I didn't see the drops.
No, he was pretty good. In fact, GM Gene talked about that in a video I did with him.
He's a role guy, right? They're going to find a role for him because he's going to be active on game days.
Absolutely.
His role is he's a Pro Bowl special teams guy who might catch a ball for you here and there.
Well, but what I'm saying is they're going to find a role in the offense for him. But with 6'5", you would think he'd be the role would be red zone, right?
I don't want to put him into that. I mean, because, you know, it happened with Matt Jones. It happened with Reggie just because of size.
Yeah.
Hines Ward is a pretty good red zone receiver.
Hines, great
He's
receiver.
Not big, is he?
Which brings me to a question I want to ask both of you. I'm getting one of the questions I've been getting a lot of. Do the Jaguars need a veteran wide receiver? Should they bring in a guy? You know, I got to tell you, I think the answer to that is yes, except hold off on it. Because Mike Thomas looks like he has both hands on the number two job, and Jared Dillard's going to be coming off PUP pretty soon, from what I understand, and Underwood's on the rise, and Zach Miller's now coming to life, looks like he's healthy
again.
Had
a really good 2 days.
Really good 2 days. Well, it's starting to look like a pretty good young receiving core.
And I got to give you credit, because we stood in the end zone on Monday morning at the first practice, and we were just talking, bantering back and forth, and I said, so what do you want to see? And he said, well, it's time for Zach Miller to step up. It is time for Zach Miller to come to life.
I mean, he's a guy on whom they are really counting, and he's had this plantar fasciitis thing.
No.
And what? No, what?
It wasn't that.
What was it?
It wasn't that.
Oh, Jeffrey, now, don't play coach. If you've got information.
I'm not trying to play coach. I'm just telling you it wasn't plantar fasciitis. It was something else.
Stress fracture.
No. This isn't 100 questions either.
Sore toe. Okay, he had a foot injury.
There you go.
And is
You're
it
right.
better now?
Yeah, it's better now.
Okay, well, now we're – hey, that's great then.
But the plantar fasciitis thing that I don't know where it was reported at was not true.
Okay.
But he looks good.
You said it in one of these shows.
No, I
know
didn't.
You did.
No, I did not.
Did he not?
I did not.
Didn't he say he had plantar fasciitis?
I said plantar fasciitis or something.
Oh, okay. So he had this, he had the something.
I know I've read it that somewhere that he had plantar fasciitis.
But it's better now.
Yes.
That's big news. That's big news because this guy can really play. And he is potentially he's gonna and Mike Thomas are gonna battle to be the number two designated, in other words, not number two wide receiver, but designated number two receiver, the guy who's worthy of the designation due to his production.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I finally want to get this conversation turned to the offensive line.
Okay.
All right. We will do that when Jaguars This Week rolls along. And you, by the way, you can vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. That means your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. All part of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for all the details. More to come on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Rolling right along. Official word from Joe Fortunato, if he'll turn his microphone on, is no phone lines tonight.
What Vic said earlier.
He said a lot of things earlier, Joe. You're going to have to be a little sharper than that.
How about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Oh, you're screwed. All right. Hopefully we'll have him back up for postgame with Cole and Marco Coleman and Pete Banaszak. Have we announced that? I mean, the Cole's back with Banaszak?
Might as well do it now.
And obviously, Marco Coleman joins the fray this year. That should be an interesting dynamic in the room, and hopefully you'll have a chance to call in.
I got to tell a story.
Okay. Is his microphone on?
One, two.
I can't hear him.
Am I on?
You
now
are.
I'm on. Way to be on top of things there, Joe.
Joe's fair to Joe.
I just don't like you.
He just turned you off.
He had me off. I mean, just because phones, don't blame me. It was neat to go up to Atlanta because, you know, that's kind of Jacksonville North. But the coaching
staff. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Mike Smith, Paul Boudreau, the O-line coach, was here.
Bill Musgrave
was quarterback's coach.
Brian Van Gorder.
Brian Van Gorder.
The linebacker's coach
right now
here.
Defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Alvin Reynolds.
Alvin Reynolds. Defensive backs coach.
Sugar Bear Hamilton.
Ray Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Defensive line coach was here. It's like all the coaches Jack had are all up there with Smitty.
Brian Williams, Joe Zelenka, who are playing. Chris Millman, who used to be in the PR department here.
Oh, he
Billy
missed it.
Roddy
you,
White.
You missed a guy. You missed a guy.
Billy Joe.
Mike Peterson.
Hey!
Because
he
didn't practice. How that was.
I had a little conversation with Mike. Yeah, first of all.
Kind of interesting.
First of all, Mike was, I believe, asked not to partake in the practice by the head coach. And was asked not to make an appearance at practice. He missed.
That's unusual.
He was.
It?
He wasn't there Monday at all. We couldn't find him.
All right? The other injured Falcons were there.
And then he was inside chewing on something. I have no doubt. So he came out very inconspicuously.
Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday morning. Too.
Tuesday morning. He did.
Yeah, it came out late.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah, late. So I saw him. So I walked over there and I went, "Hey, Mike." He turned and looked, and I gave him a thumbs up, you know, and looked over, and he walked by a little later and said, "Ask Vic," you know, and I said, "Good to see you, Mike. I miss you," and he says, "Yeah, I kind of miss you too, but I can't talk about that." So he there's still a little bit in the belly there. I mean,
that really says something.
There's
about
not
him.
A little in the belly.
Oh, he's still a Jaguar.
He's still very
in
angry.
Heat.
Yeah.
It says a lot that Mike Smith wouldn't have him at any of the four practices.
Oh, he didn't want him. He didn't want him causing a fight. I mean, you know, who needs it? Hey, that stuff. Which brings me to something else. This reporting of fights. Which you know, I see it now. It's a cheap thing. It's really cheap reporting. It
sells papers.
But I there were a couple
end views.
There were a couple little chippy sessions where someone snarled at somebody. I mean, there was no fight. There was no punching. No one. There were no brawls. Anything like that. But right away. I mean, it's headlines. It's twitted. You know,
oh, yeah.
All over the place and. People are going crazy, you know, like there's a war going on in the field. I would. That's another thing about my profession that is starting to wear me out a little bit.
Did you tweet that the beer man ripped off Jordan Black's helmet? Did you tweet that?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, it was a good one.
Who's the beer man?
Beerman.
Beerman.
Okay. Beerman.
Is it Corey Beerman?
I think so.
Because they spelled it wrong.
Falcons.
It was Croy.
B-I-E-R-M-A-N.
Yeah.
Beerman.
Did you happen to catch the what did you think of number 42 for the Falcons?
What position?
Beyond the fence.
Oh, that was the other story I was going to share.
Go, baby.
The Falcons training camp, first of all, this is kind of somewhat similar to a Bill Belichick mini thing going on in Atlanta. Thomas Dimitroff comes from the New England way.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are pretty tight. Security's tight.
Right.
They're not very sharing. They don't want any Jaguars personnel in the building, that kind of stuff.
Eyes are on you all the time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, they have an area that's on a hill, and it's a beautiful place to watch practice
it
from.
Really
they've got covered tents, and then they've got a fence up, and it's pretty close to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy that, at least when we were there, and from what we were told, he's been to every practice.
He goes to all practices.
He's, you know, short, stocky guy.
He was wearing a uniform.
When he comes to practice, he's always wearing a jersey. He wears game pants. And the last day, he had helmet and shoulder pads on.
Oh, he had thigh pads in yesterday.
Yeah. Oh,
too.
Yeah.
He had he was padded
down
the leg.
Falcon security all over.
And
him.
He's got a megaphone that he carries with him, and he's like Rain Man, like Brian, with statistics. I mean, you know, third round pick in 1998, he had 82 receptions for 853 yards. That was a great year.
He yells
and
there through the whole practice.
Brian Sexton, you know, I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah, he is.
And it goes on and on.
We got the story about
highly
this
entertaining.
Guy. Spent 5 years in jail for trying to kill his wife with an axe.
No wonder the Falcons.
For real.
Well, you haven't heard the other side of the story yet, Jeff. I mean, you do this all the time. You rush to judgment on things.
That was the truth. That's what they said. They were. I guess they were concerned about this guy because.
Yeah.
Kind of schizo.
I told Smitty. I said. He said, "Do you see our guy over there?" Well, I'm not going to say what he said. I ended it by saying, yeah, but he's your whack job. And I said, just make sure you tell the security guy that when he reaches into the bag, you know, whatever he brings out, don't point it at the coach.
Oh, when he comes to practice, he literally has an equipment bag.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's got all this, you know, what do you want, props or whatever, and some of his equipment in there. And he's there every day. And I asked the guy for the Falcons, I said, is he here every day? And he said, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, he needs a job.
Yeah, he's completely whacked, and he yells throughout the whole practice all these stats.
He does not stop. And by the way, he's not looking at a book.
No.
I don't know whether you noticed that or not.
Top of his head.
Unless he's sitting down and pulling the book out and memorizing some things.
Oh, I know. It's Rain Man all the way. I mean, he wants to go to Kmart. There's no question.
They have two Falcon security people that are always within about 10 yards of him.
It was, you know, it was a fun couple of days. It really was. And I, in my video that I did with Mike Smith, you know, I asked him, well, is this something that we can expect to see next year? And he says, yeah. He said, we're coming to Jacksonville next year. So the idea that these two teams from different conferences, and we're going to see more of these combined practices.
I was just about to ask
when
you.
They go to two preseason games. Everyone's going to be doing this. This is going to become, the Jaguars and Falcons are going to, this is going to become a tradition, and I like it.
We got the Bucks right around the corner. That's not a far way to go either. You go to Charlotte.
That's far. We're as far south as we need to go. This time of the year, let's go north. Anywhere north. I mean, it was not humid there yesterday. It was hot, blistering hot, but it wasn't humid, which made it a lot more pleasant than.
What was I say? Have you seen the heat index in Mankato, Minnesota this week?
What is it?
Oh, it's hot.
Oh,
anywhere you go, it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot
in the Upper Midwest right
but,
now.
But you know. One of the things I'm looking forward to going to Philadelphia is we're going to go.
Cool evening.
Yeah, I mean, in past, we're always playing this preseason schedule of Miami, Tampa Bay, you know, in Atlanta, at least they play in the Georgia Dome, so you get a break there. Or Carolina, well, I haven't had Carolina in a while. You know, I the one year we went to Green Bay, that was nice.
Yeah, I like that.
You need a break from the heat.
I'm with you. I'm all for trying different teams in the preseason, but you got to remember one thing. It costs more money.
Unless you do it if you go in. If you're going to play Green Bay in Green Bay, you go scrimmage with them for a couple of days.
Hey, that trip the last couple of days wasn't cheap.
No, I know. I know.
A lot of people.
You know, I think you will see kind of what Atlanta is doing with New England next week when they do go to 18 games, and they will go to 18 games. Mm-hmm. You know, where you go, you practice for a couple of days, and then you play them in a preseason game.
Is that 2012 or 2013?
I think it's going to be in 12.
I think that's a great idea, what you just said. I think that's very logical.
But it's got to happen. It's going to happen the first preseason week. It's not going to happen the second.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have some practices, you know, in camp when you don't have a week of a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe prior to the first of two preseason games, you travel to the city that you're going to, our team is going to be playing. You practice for a day and a half or 2 days, take a couple days away from them at maybe some other facility or off times when the team's not using that field, and then you play a game.
I want to say something that'll set up the last half hour of this show.
Okay.
The comment was made to me by somebody who shall go nameless. Before we went to Atlanta, the comment was made to me, we'll know when we come back from Atlanta. You know what that means. I mean, in other words, we'll know what kind of team we have. Now, there was no LOL. There was no Eugene Monroe. There was no Evan Britton. So, that kind of taints what we learned. But I got to tell you, I think I know.
Yeah, we'll go with that when we return. News is next here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Well, have you pronounced this yet? Pick up the card and I just realized I don't. Is it Bueller Watch Company? Bueller.
Bueller.
B-U-L-E-R. Sound right to you? Well, they will obviously tell me if I said it wrong.
Hold on 1 second. Test 1, 2. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
The real power in the room, folks, lies in the hands of Joe Fortunato. One click, and you're finished.
Okay, what's the deal with this watch company?
Bueller Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robeson Jewelry in Fernandina Beach. I hope it's not Robeson. If it is, they'll let me know, too. Faceted Rainbow in Ocala and Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park. We're going with Bueller Watch Company.
Spell that for me.
B-U-L-E-R.
Okay.
I can't imagine that it's anything else.
Is that like Forrest Bueller?
Ferris Bueller.
Or Ferris, yeah,
and
him too.
And the lady who was behind the counter in Trains, Trains, and Automobile was the secretary.
That's right.
Yes, she was.
You can pull that clip up.
Yes, she was.
In Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Bueller Watches. And if it's not Bueller, I'm sorry.
I just pulled them up. They're really nice.
Wow. Going to drop some by the studio? We'll see. All right, so the offensive line.
Something else first.
Oh, man, it's been that way all night.
Okay. I ended with, we'll know. Remember that when I said, that someone had said to me before we went up to Atlanta, we'll know when we come back from Atlanta. And I think I know. And what I think I know is that clearly now I can see that this is a team on the rise. There's no question. I can see that this is a team whose roster is on the rise, but it's not there yet. It's going to take some more time.
More patience.
More accumulation of talent. They are accumulating talent, but you have to reach a certain point of saturation before it really starts to show.
Here's a concern, and obviously you're correct.
On the scoreboard and the record.
Right. Will you get through Maurice Drew's prime years as you reconstruct your roster?
Well, he's going to get you. What he's going to do is he's going to get you. Yeah, I think you will. But he's going to have given you good football during those rebuilding years.
Will he be able to reap? Will he, you know?
Yeah, you know.
I guess if I
think this team
Jennings steps up.
I think this team can get there next year. I think they can get there. I think they can get to that contend for a championship level kind. I think they can get to where the Falcons are now next year. I think the Falcons are 1 year ahead of them.
But the reason they're ahead of them is they have their young quarterback, right? I mean, I don't want to take anything away from what David has done this last couple of days, but I mean, when you look at them being constructed for the long term, it's because you've got a young quarterback.
If I went through, I'm going to turn this over to Jeff in a minute because he's got some thoughts on this too. But if I went position by position and compared the Jaguars and the Falcons, my guess is that the Falcons would probably get a two position edge.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I'm not. I don't get the feeling that the Falcons are a step ahead.
You don't think they're 1 year ahead of the Jaguars?
No, I really don't.
I'm going to write on that board positions, and we'll do. We'll go through.
I think if you look at the roster position by position, I don't really believe that.
Okay.
I think that certainly this Jaguars team, they have work to do, and I got that impression when I say they've got work to do, and that, you know, they're pretty close to the Falcons, but this team has work to do before they get to the point where, hey, we're going to contend.
Okay, let's do it. Quarterback. Who gets the edge?
Well, it's got to be the Falcons, right? I mean,
Matt he's a young guy.
And he's
you know,
young and he's an elite.
Okay.
People say he's the next elite quarterback, a lot of the experts. So, yeah.
Based on what I saw.
Falcons. Running back.
I think this team's got the edge.
Michael Turner's very good.
Michael Turner's a great player, but he can't do everything Maurice can do.
Okay.
Well, and if Jennings is truly a good young player like you saw, and whatever
what does
Deji
Atlanta
Kareem,
have behind him?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Yeah.
I mean, Jarius Norwood is a threat as a receiver.
All receivers. Wide receivers and tight ends. Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah,
Roddy
Falcons,
White.
Absolutely.
Okay, Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzalez is a Hall of Fame player. Roddy White's, and you know, he's a proven Pro Bowl type player.
Offensive line.
Right now, probably the Falcons.
See, I'd go with the Jaguars.
But see, you're talking potential.
Yes.
See, and
I don't think Sam Baker will ever be as good a player as Eugene Monroe.
I agree. But I'm saying performance.
Okay.
Falcons, last couple years, have been very good at running the football.
You're right.
And as a group, they have played better. This group here in Jacksonville, I think, if you ask me which one do you want to have, you're building a team, I'll take this one.
Okay, but you're going to go with Atlanta?
Yeah, right now.
Put an A up there, Joe. Defensive line.
Atlanta.
Put an A.
Because of John Abraham?
Well, you got John Abraham. You got Pride Jerry.
He's hurt all the time.
No, I know. But then you've got Babineau, good football player.
But again, you're talking about
young. I mean, this is another thing here. This is where we go here again. Alualu.
That's right.
Terrence Knighton.
But it's still
he hasn't played
it's
yet.
It's sight unseen. It's sight unseen to this point. See, that's we're talking about potential. I think the Jaguars potentially have better lines.
Yes.
Both lines.
But I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
What they've shown in the past, you know.
Is that secondary? No, just make it defensive backs. Just make that secondary.
This team.
Better secondary here?
Yeah.
Okay. Jaguars, Joe. You spell that with a J. There you go. And you're going home tomorrow, Joe. You got any girlfriends left? Oh, that's right. You're married. What's we got next? Linebacker.
Atlanta.
Yes.
Maybe.
Close. There's no question with the Witherspoon guy.
But he's an unknown.
You know, it's a good point.
You know.
So. They're I think, a shade better than Jaguars, personally.
Pretty close.
Yeah, it's close.
I mean, Darryl Smith, you know.
Do you really want to do special teams and kickers?
I'd take the Jaguars linebacker.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, put a J there.
I think they're proven.
All right, let's not do special teams and kicker and all that stuff. Let's just count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, and I got 4-3, right?
Yeah.
Four. Now, how do you see it?
What's it? What a smart. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You're
I got,
lucky this is right.
Well, there it yeah. is. There it is.
But here's the thing.
Well, how do you grade it? That's how he graded it.
When we look at this 4-3 thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you, Joe, you ended up writing down what I said. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And Joe did. He wrote down what I said. Okay. So this is like a 4-3 Falcons edge. But I gave Atlanta the offensive line, and I gave Atlanta the defensive lines.
Okay.
But the Jaguars have addressed those in last year's draft and this year's draft,
uh-huh.
and we still got to know. We got to know more. Now, if you ask me which ones would you like to have for the next 4 or 5 years, I'll take this one
uh-huh.
in both cases.
I would go with quarterback Atlanta, running back Jaguars, receivers Atlanta, offensive line I would go with Jaguars, and defensive line I would go with Atlanta. Linebackers I would defensive backs I would go with Jaguars, and linebackers Atlanta. So we'd still come up with the same score, right? Yeah, four Atlanta, three Jaguars.
And see, my score...
That's close.
My score is based on the here and now, not
mm-hmm.
potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with the potential there, I mean, you look at the...
I'm stirring in more potential.
The big lines.
I'm stirring in more potential.
Well, I think you have to with these two young teams.
No, because if you look at Atlanta, wide receivers, they got, you know, Tony Gonzalez gives them the edge. If you take Tony Gonzalez out of that mix, you know, what would you rather have? Here's a question for you. Tony Gonzalez... Okay, and what's the other tight end's name?
Peel.
Justin Peel.
Okay, Gonzalez.
Who was a star, by the way, yesterday.
Or Mercedes Lewis and Zach Thomas.
Zach Miller. Mm-hmm.
Which one are you going to take?
I would take the Jaguars receiving core going forward, absolutely, because they're young and they're on the rise. So you kind of have to make the distinction there, or you just do it the way we did it, just your gut instinct, and each of us came up 4-3.
Yeah.
Gonzalez is in season 14, so he's still a good player.
And
not 100 catches, but good.
By the way, the Falcons have outstanding special teams.
But I wanted to kind of get to this at some point about the Jaguars special teams. Wait till after the break. I mean, I know we're due for a break.
Am I ever going to get the offensive line in tonight?
I really believe that the Jaguars have the potential to be the best special teams unit in the league this
mm-hmm.
year. Because if you look at the number of guys that can be in that core, it is a long list.
It's not just Montel Owens and Kasimago.
No,
it's Middleton.
Considine.
And Reggie Nelson's a very good special teams
Nelson,
player.
Reggie Nelson, the defensive
Tony player. Gilbert, if he makes a team, is
absolutely.
A fabulous special
real
teams
quick.
Player.
We're not going to a break until you say something about the offensive line.
We'll talk about him after the break.
I've been teasing for an hour. I don't believe you for a minute. Tell me something about the offensive line. They didn't play all that well on Monday. Andy Heck was sitting in the room when we taped the show. I mean, he went right at it. Let's talk about the offensive line for just a minute.
They struggled inside. Forget about outside. They were without their two guys. And I can tell you in pass rush drills, their inside guys got run over, got mauled.
Did anybody distinguish themselves at all in Atlanta from what you could tell? Not watching the tape. So you
on
didn't
the Jaguars offensive line?
Inside. You know, we've been talking about Smiley,
Meester did pretty
Meester.
Well.
Okay.
I thought Meester played well. Smiley had some difficult moments. Vince had a couple difficult moments. I mean, you're missing your guys.
That's right.
All right. So we're done with the offensive line. We'll come back and talk about special teams. Just got tired of promising people and not delivering. Back after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it. Of course, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today or on your way to the stadium next Saturday when the Jaguars have the first of their two preseason games against the Miami Dolphins. But we are on our way tomorrow afternoon to Philadelphia, Joe Fortunato's hometown, for the Jaguars preseason opener at Lincoln Financial Field. Should be fun. Where do you recommend that people who are going to the game eat on Thursday night? Us.
Jim Steaks, 4th and South.
Better than Geno's, better than Pat's.
Yes.
You got a thought on
Pat's
that?
I can't
Geno's
eat
as well.
Red meat anymore.
Oh.
I know. I'm going to meet my son My youngest son lives in Philadelphia. We're going out to eat, but fish, chicken, wheat bread.
Wow.
I might as well just, you know.
You know, I didn't realize a little while ago, Vic, you were asking about places to eat and recommendations from Joe. And I didn't realize you were taking your son. I thought you were taking, like, a former associate of yours.
You mean like a girlfriend or something?
Well, no. I mean, Joe recommended, a nice place and said, you walk out of there, pay $150, two of you.
Yeah, but I got to pay for him.
You're cheaping out.
Yeah, times are tough. He's looking for Chili's or Applebee's somewhere on South Street.
It's not far
go
from
get
the
a
truth.
Steak, then, will you?
We'll go someplace nice.
Can he go eat wings and pizza in Dan Edwards' suite? Wouldn't that be nice?
No, I don't want him to see
do
you
it.
Guys. I don't know. Dad's a complete degenerate.
Thanks.
I want him to think his dad's an executive.
long ago and far away, I think I used to take you guys to the airport when you'd pick him up, take him home. Absolutely.
Yeah, they were just kids then.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Well, now they're all over the place. They have jobs. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Mm-hmm. All right, back to the special teams. Or did you say everything you wanted to say?
I mean, I said pretty much, but I mean, think about the guys that are going to be key special teamers for this team. I mean, look at the defense. Go by position by position. Safety, you got Reggie, and you got Considine. Mm-hmm. At the corner position, you got Middleton and Tyron Brackenridge, who I think played very well mm-hmm. on special teams last year. At linebacker position, you got Russell Allen. Mm-hmm. At the Tony Gilbert, if he makes the team. Defensive line, Jeremy Mincy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that can play all the teams. Offense, Montel, Kasim. I mean, that's a large number of guys that are good special teamers.
I want to ask you a big question. You have long been a Jeremy Mincy guy.
Yeah.
Okay. What if Derek Harvey doesn't improve? Is there any chance that Jeremy Mincy could pass him? I mean, should that position be opened up to competition?
In practices and training camp, Derek has been the better player.
Mm-hmm.
Last year in training camp, I thought Mincy was the best defensive end in camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt.
So what's your answer? Should he be allowed to compete?
He's competing now.
And is he still behind Harvey? Okay.
But I thought last year he was pretty doggone good. The one thing about Mincy is 100% effort all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're going to get.
He have a role as an inside rusher like Paul Spicer used to?
Well, that was one of my concerns. I was really kind of, for me, I was going, boy, they really need the Anthony Smith to kind of be a guy.
Hey, you know who I didn't see any?
And then he tears an Achilles.
You know who I didn't notice at all? At Atlanta, Coque. Did you notice him at all? Did you see anything from him? I can't remember having seen any of him.
He's a nose tackle.
Yeah, I have to ask some.
But then again, you notice Terrence Knighton.
Yeah, you really do.
Oh, yeah.
And they need Tia Ellison to really step it up.
How's he done so far in camp?
Okay, just kind of okay.
Who he is? Big maybe, guy gives you play here and there.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
He runs pretty well, doesn't he?
You know, he's one of those guys that when you look at him, you go, gosh, he's going to be really good.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
I mean, he's put together. He's got the height, weight. There's no fat on him. Just kind of a guy right now. I mean, he's got to become more than just a guy.
How about Duzabel? Did you see any of him?
He actually looked pretty
good. He did,
didn't
he?
Yeah,
he did.
Some pass rush.
I thought so, too.
He did. He actually did.
Big kid the Jags signed last week.
He's a little bit of a quick twitch guy.
From Central Florida.
Pronounce his name.
Leger?
Duzabel.
Duzabel. He's a doozy, baby.
He's big.
Yeah, he's a pretty big guy, but he's an athletic defensive tackle that looks like he has some pass rush. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have guys like that.
Can't ever have too many of those guys.
Jars mm-hmm. on the shelf, right, Vic?
You betcha.
So, I don't know. I mean, the defensive line, I mean, it's still going to be concerned until Campman proves he's back, until Derek Harvey mm-hmm. kind of shows in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence Knight, we know about him. good football player, a little overweight, but he still can play. But, you know, the conditioning, the endurance to carry that through an entire game mm-hmm. is a concern. Tyson Alualu, unproven rookie. A lot of questions on that defensive line. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of potential on that defensive line as well.
You expect any of those guys who didn't practice in Atlanta to play on Friday night?
No.
Better safe than sorry. Wait till next week.
Think on that. No. Britton won't play. Monroe won't play. LOL won't play. Gerald Smith won't play. They wouldn't. No. In fact, you got to watch now. You got to watch your quarterback. He's out there playing without Monroe and Britton. I wouldn't play him much more than a series.
Nope.
Maybe two series at best, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of runs.
Yeah.
How many carries does Drew get? Three? Five?
Two, three.
I hope that's it.
Yeah.
Hey.
You know who's gonna get? Chad Kackert is going to get 20 carries.
Kid from New
They're going to wear him out. And I want to see him.
And there
goes
and lies the reason that the commissioner wants to go to an 18-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's all but a virtual certainty, isn't it? I mean, talking to some people in Atlanta, both coaches and personnel people,
it's the
commissioner wants it in the worst way.
It's the one trump card that actually both sides have because the players can play it for value and the league can play it for justification. Of paying more or paying as much.
Have you heard anybody from the football side of things, coaches, GMs, endorse it?
Goodell just
but I know
trumpeted
he wants it.
It,
but coaches. You know, Jack said on his show on Tuesday evening he is totally against it.
No.
Thinks it will hurt the quality of play.
Coaches are when the league went to 16 games in 1978, I believe it was. I mean, I can remember the coaches just going crazy. You know, oh, this is terrible. Listen, when I started covering the NFL, the preseason was 6 games long.
Yeah.
The first regular season game wasn't until like September the 21st, 22nd, the 3rd, the end of September. They complained about going to 4 preseason games. I mean, so I'm.
You know what they need to do, though? When they expand the schedule, they need to expand the rosters.
That's not going to happen.
Why?
Because what you're doing is you're giving more votes to the union. You're increasing the membership that you have to defeat.
No.
Yeah. The rank and file grows.
Assimilate the practice squad.
So, in other words, get rid of the practice squad and make them active.
Yes.
Okay, you got what do you got? 8 on the practice squad now?
Yes.
All right. So you're a 61. So if you went to 55.
Or let's 53.
55 and 6.
53-man roster. Expand it, make it 58, and then have a smaller practice squad.
Three-man practice squad?
4-man, whatever.
Okay. All right, I'm all right with that.
And that'll do it for the show, folks. We will talk to you Thursday evening, 4:30 for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, 6:30 for our network pregame, 7:30 kickoff for the preseason opener against the Eagles. Till we talk to you then, have a great night.